We practice mindfulness of breathing as a way of bringing the attention to the present. This is the purpose of concentration, is bringing a quality of full awareness, mindfulness and full awareness, to this present reality. So we take a simple object, tangible, non-personal, unemotive, like the breath, as a reference point, an anchor for attention. If the mind is very busy, very agitated, then that anchor needs to be firmly planted, like a boat out in the water. If it's being pulled by the tides, the currents, blown by the wind, then the anchor needs to be firmly embedded to hold the boat in place. As the mind calms down, as the system settles, the body becomes more relaxed. It's more of a quality of energy, attention, well established in the present. Then there's no need to have an anchor so deeply embedded. If the boat is up on the beach, then there's no need for an anchor at all. So what this means is, as the retreat time progresses, as the mind becomes more focused, more settled, more alert, then we can lay aside the rhythm of the breath as a particular focus. Each of us has to recognize for ourselves what is needed. Is the mind being pulled around, blown this way and that, agitated by thoughts and moods and feelings, perceptions? Or is it pretty stable, steadily aware of the present, the coming and going of feelings, thoughts, perceptions, without getting entangled in them? How is it? Each one of us will be different, so each one of us has to make our own choices. But as and when we have the sense that the attention is well grounded, focused in the present, then we can let the breath fall into the background, be just another part of the field of perceptions, like the sound of the birds, the sensations of the body, the colors of the morning. To actualize the quality of liberation, to genuinely free the heart from entanglement, from limitation, from the apparent attachments of like and dislike, inside and outside, self and other, then there needs to be a letting go of the content of experience, to know the process of experiencing itself. We use words like wisdom or insight, vipassana, awareness. All these different words refer to the same basic process of letting go of the content of experience, to know that field of experience, that flow of perceptions, as simply that. Patterns of consciousness, sankharas arising, passing away. The heart is attuned to that field of experience. It participates in it, but it's not entangled, not limited, not burdened by those perceptions. That which knows the world is not limited by the world. That which knows the person isn't born, isn't limited by those personal qualities. When the attention is steadily, firmly grounded in the present, attuned to this present reality, you can consciously let go of the content of experience, whether we call it inside, like a memory or a thought, call it outside, like a sound or a color, visual form. Where does it happen? Where is it? It all happens here, doesn't it? In this field of awareness. Eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose, tongue, body, mind consciousness. Patterns of consciousness arise, take shape, and dissolve. The world we know is the world of our own field of perceptions. That's the world. That whereby one is a perceiver of the world, a conceiver of the world, that is called the world in this Dhamma and discipline. And what is it whereby one is a perceiver and a conceiver of the world? The eye, the ear, the nose, the tongue, the body, the mind. So the process of insight, the development of insight, is to do with letting go of the world, no longer being born into the world, not identifying with that, being a lokavitu, knower of the world. Or maybe it's more accurate to say a knowing of the world, embodying that knowing element, that vijja dhatu. It's a more accurate way of speaking of it. Being that awake, aware, knowing quality. Not as a separate abstracted I that is a me that's doing the knowing, but knowing free of any kind of conceit, any kind of self-view. The heart awake, aware. Not being a person, not being an individual, an I or a me. To support this letting go of identification and grasping of perceptions, the way the mind thinks in terms of my thoughts, I'm hearing, I feel, I'm practicing, my meditation, all those I's and me's and mine's, we use the reflections upon anicca, dukkha, anatta, on uncertainty, change, anicca, dukkha, unsatisfactoriness, incompleteness. The inability of any single condition to permanently satisfy. And anatta, not self. We're not taking these three qualities as just another kind of identity or just words to repeat, anicca, dukkha, anatta, anicca, dukkha, anatta. But rather they are tools, like screwdrivers or a chisel or an awl, a tire lever. They're part of the toolkit to help the heart to free itself of its habitual attachments. They're not ideas to believe in, just words to repeat. They're tools to apply moment by moment to the way that the mind holds the field of perception, the way the mind creates and holds the world, the way the mind creates and holds a self, an I, a me, and a mine. What these tools are doing is helping a change of view, a change of attitude, to let go of the content of experience to look at the process of experiencing itself. So whether it's inside or outside, is it changing? Is it beautiful or ugly? Is it changing? Is it me or you? Is it changing? Is it sacred or profane? Is it changing? Is it expected or unexpected? Is it changing? So whether it's inside or outside, coarse or fine, pure or impure, here or there, all of those usual designations are put aside. Instead, is it changing? Is it nicca or anicca? Is it certain or uncertain? We hear a sound, feel a sensation in the body. The mind remembers, imagines. Maybe a sweet memory or an exciting fantasy. How long can that satisfy? Can that really be kept? We see a color, beautiful purple of a clematis, the bright yellow of a buttercup. Wow, look at that. So bright, so beautiful. How long does that, wow, how long does that stay? The luminous colors of the dawn, beautiful clouds lit up by the rising sun, the early morning light. Wow, look at that. How long does that, wow, stay? Notice how perception works. When we're eating something that's delicious, how long does that impact of real excitement, satisfaction, how long does it last? How is it sustained? How does it work? So with the reflections on dukkha, we're not trying to pretend that the pleasant is not pleasant, the beautiful is not beautiful, but we're looking, exploring how perception works. How even though there might be a moment of impact, a beautiful taste, a familiar, delightful, satisfying taste, how long does that yes, that wow, last for? How long is it? We're not trying to create a sour look or be negative. We're just exploring how satisfaction and dissatisfaction works. So dukkha is a reflection on how no experience can sustain that quality of satisfaction indefinitely. There is gratification, asada. Yes, there is that moment of impact, the endorphin flush. Yes, yes. But how long does that last? What happens? After a few seconds, it fades. The system adapts. The shocking, the delightful, the gratifying becomes ordinary, becomes boring. This is what dukkha is pointing to. That it's impossible for any sensory experience, even blissful states of mind in meditation that might last a long time, even they can't sustain themselves. So it's recognizing the liability of attachment to those beautiful experiences, the adinava. They go together, asada, gratification, adinava, the liability, the downside. And the reflections on anatta, again, we're not trying to create a philosophy of believing we don't exist, but exploring that feeling of I, the doer, I, the experiencer. I think, I feel, this is my body, my practice, my problem. This is mine, my sitting spot. I, me, mine. The teachings on anatta are aimed at helping there to be an exploration of those feelings, to see that the perception of I is just another perception that arises, passes away. The perceptions of self are not self. Looking for an owner, a me that is the genuine owner of an object, a material object or a thought or a feeling, a memory. What is the I that is the owner? The me that is the doer can't be found, has no form, no edges, no qualities, just another psychological formation, a pattern of consciousness arising and passing. So we use these three tools, anicca, dukkha, anatta, uncertainty, unsatisfactoriness, not self, as a way of loosening the grip on self and the world, me in here, the world out there, to loosen the grip, to prise that tire off the wheel rim, to help see things in their true light. Or when the reflections on anicca, dukkha, anatta are applied, the point of them is not just to be applying the method, but the change of heart that comes from that method being applied. We use the tools to loosen the attachment. The freedom from attachment is the point. So in that moment of recognizing, oh, this is just hearing. It's not a me that hears. It's just hearing. Oh. This is just a delicious taste. It's not me having my favorite flavor. It's just tasting. Oh. That change of heart in the oh. That's the point of the exercise. That change of view. Seeing things in a different way. Knowing the world. That's the point of it. And in that moment of genuine disentanglement, the heart is attuned to the world, it knows the world, it participates in the world, but it's not limited by the world. It's not burdened by the world. By the world inside of I and me and mine, or the world outside of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. There's freedom, simplicity, spaciousness. The heart free of grasping feels like this. Even if that's just for a moment, for a second, half a second, notice that. When the insight is present, when there's that clear knowing, clear, simple, uncomplicated knowing, how is it? Let that simplicity be the benchmark. Let that be the ground of experience, rather than the feelings of I and me and my life and my story and who I am and what I've got to do. Let that nature of the heart, free of grasping, let that be the measure of experience. Let that be the ground. Purity, simplicity, a quiet normality, peaceful, spacious, utterly ordinary, completely delightful. let that be the ground. Let that be the basis, and see all the rest. All the me's and mine's in here, out there, see that as coming and going, arising from that ground. That reality becomes the reference point. Knowing, spacious, not a person, not an I, not a doer. Awareness itself, the vijja dhatu, the knowing element.